This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Well, listen, I want to just say at this moment, it really is, it's, you know, Bev just said those words, it's a privilege for us to be with you, and, you know, I'm thankful to the Lord that we're a part of a church that can release us, that, you know, they're going to have their service in 12 hours time or whatever it is, and there's a team there that we can be released that have allowed us to come here, and you know, we came because we just wanted to spend time with Bev, and a bonus is we get to spend time with all of you as well. But you know, when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. And just because we're 25 hours away in the UK, you're our family, and you know, it's words don't kind of mean, they don't say enough. Honor, privilege for us to stand here. And it really is. It's a joy for us to be here. And, you know, 2 years ago when we met Dave and Bev, we didn't just meet ministers. We didn't just meet pastors of a church. We made friends. And over that time, our friendship has grown. And, you know, we didn't get to see face to face so much, but we WhatsApped, and you know, just communication that we had over the time. And so I want to say, listen, church, we're here today not because, you know, I didn't come to minister, you know, and hopefully I get to come again. And I want to say this to the team, you don't have to get me to speak, you know, I'm here because I just want to spend time with my family. We want to just spend it. It's lovely we've got to meet Andrew and Iris, and we've made more friends. You know, it's that's what it's about. You see, there's too many lonely Christians today. We can say that we've got family. We can say that we're a part of a church. And but unfortunately, there's a lot of people today. And even, you know, I'm here because of MFG, but I'm not here as MFG, you know, representative or anything like that. But the reason MFG exists is because of relationship. Because, you know, as a church members, you know, we have relationship. But pastors need relationship. And it can be very lonely sometimes being a pastor, because you can't just go and talk to your congregation about everything, because some stuff it's not for them to hear, and some stuff it's not for them to know. It's, you know, that's why the Lord's put you there as a pastor. And, you know, so MFG exists really because it can get lonely being a pastor. And, you know, so it's just good having great friends, you know, and Bev, we just love you, we really do. And I want to just say, I'm excited with this news that's been shared with you today, and Andre, and, you know, eldership, and, you know, it's and Bruce, you know, it's, I want to say, listen, because change always unnerves people. It always does. It's, as human beings, we don't like change. We might say we like change, but we don't like change. I think the only change you like is when the weather drops 20 degrees. but change can bring, it's the unknown. But I want to say this. Listen, I don't know everything about this church. I don't know your leadership, you know, all that well. But if your elders and your team can say this is the couple that we believe is the right people for God. Listen, sometimes, and I was sharing with the church in Melbourne last night, I was saying, sometimes we think, oh, well, I know better. Well, the word that comes to mind is Psalms and Proverbs, where it says that the way of man leads to death. You see, we can think we have the right answers in our own minds, and I know better. Listen, God has put a leadership over you to direct you, and they'll give a double account. Isn't that a joy? You know, they'll give a double account. So they make choices knowing that one day they will have to stand before God. And I would say, listen, I learned this lesson as soon as I got saved. An older gentleman in the church said to me, because I was like, I don't get this. I don't know about this. Why have we got to do this? And he said, listen, if your leaders are saying it, just go with it. One day revelation might come. One day understanding might come. But for now, just be obedient and go with it. And I want to just share that same principle that someone shared with me all those years ago, which I learned, you know, and I was blessed because I just listened. If your eldership and your team are saying that this is what we believe God is calling, just get behind it. Because when you get behind what the Lord is doing, I want to tell you, you're looking forward to exciting days. Well, That's not what I've come to speak about or come to, you know, be a part of. It was, we'd booked the tickets before any of this was planned, or, you know, that's what the Lord does. And, you know, it's just a joy to be here. I do want to say one thing, and this is just one pastor from the other side of the world to another set of team, you know, to the church. I want to say this: look after this woman. And, you know, when the Word of God says, honour the parents, and it just doesn't mean natural, it means spiritual. So I want to say, you look after this woman. You guys, get round and cut that grass for her, because that's a lot of grass, you know, a lot of tree. Look after her. But even financially, take care of her. Don't ever let her be in need. And as you do that, and you might go, do you know what, financially, we just can't do that as a church. Step out and believe, you know, as you honour what God has given you, the Lord will provide. That's the miraculous. So you never see this. You know, she's got tears. Don't make me cry, Bev. You know, but it would be wrong of me to say, you know, because that's where the blessing will come on you. You look after this woman. She sacrificed. There's things that you will not know that they had to sacrifice. So as you look after her, you'll be blessed in return. Well, come on, let's wipe those tears away and let's get on with the word of the Lord this morning. I want to start off with asking you, you know, why do we do what we do? You know, why do we turn up to church? Why have we, you know, why do we do the services? Why do we do all the things? And I guess, you know, start of a year, it's, you know, we're still at the beginning of the year, so it's a good time to ask this question. Even with the season that you guys are going through, and, you know, and Dave's heart was people, Dave's heart was souls, you know, and, you know, it's a good time to ask, well, why do we do these things? Is it a time that the Lord wants to just, you know, maybe kind of clear our vision, clear our thoughts? You know, there's a church today that doesn't understand who it is. And I'm talking across the world, you know, whether here in Australia or different England, you know, there's churches today that exist. The people turn up, they sing the songs, you know, they have a preacher that preaches a word, and they can do churchy stuff, but actually it's not the church. You see, just because we turn up under the banner of a cross or a name of a church, it doesn't actually mean that we're the church. And today there's a passionless church. There's a visionless church. There's a unfocusedness church, if that's a word. You see, they're just going along with the flow. There's no drive. And we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing? And, you know, and as a pastor, I have to ask myself, what am I doing? Am I heading in the right direction? Am I in what God really wants for me? You know, when putting this word together, I had to ask myself, when was the last time that I fasted, not because of the church, not because I have a problem in my life, you know, one of the kids or something that I, you know, we just need God to intervene here. You know, when was the last time that I fasted just because I wanted to be in the presence of God? You see, and that's a question I want you to just, when was the last time that I had time, that I just set myself away and said, you know what, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to have my breakfast, I'm not going to have my lunch, I'm not going to eat for however many days, that I am just going to spend time with God because I just want to meet with Him. Not that He's going to come and give me answers to the problems, not that He's going to come and give me vision, just because I just want to sense Him. I just want to be in His presence. Listen to this, Ephesians 3 and verse 10. His intent was that now, through what? The church, listen to that, the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers, authorities, to Melbourne, to Mombulk. This is what the word is saying, that through the church, His plan, His purpose, His mystery would be made known to the surrounding areas of this community. You see, there's a lot of Christians doing their own things today. You know, it's so easy that we get lost in a world with God that we go off on a tangent and we do all these things. God's plan is that through the church, through you, through this local body of believers, His plan, His wisdom would be made known. You see, I looked at the church today, and this, you know, there's a great churches around the world. There's amazing churches around the world. But there's a lot of just community centers. that call themselves churches. You see, just because someone turns up with a Bible under their arm and they sing some Christian songs and they listen to a Christian message, it doesn't actually make them the church. You see, and there's so many scriptures that take us along that line that God said, I never knew you. I didn't have communion with you. Now, these were ministers. These were church builders. These were people that went and laid on hands and healed. These were people that prophesied. And Jesus says, I never knew you. Huh? Well, how do you prophesy if you never... We've got to understand the mind of God. We've got to understand his plan and his purpose for the church. You know, here I stand in 2019, and I look back at the generations that have gone before us, the men and women that have gone before us, and I'm going to reel off just some names, some you may have heard of, some you may not have. Hugh Tozer. And I've got books on my shelf at home in the office of A.W. Tozer. But listen to this. He spent more time on his knees than at his desk. I've got tons of books on my desk, on my shelves, that A.W. Tozer had written. But he spent more time on his knees than at his desk. Preaching was an extension of his prayer life. You see, but today there's a society of men that, I'm going to write a new book. And I'm going to get this out to the world because they need to hear my thoughts. You see, actually, A.W. Tozer's books came out of just a relationship and time spent with the Lord. Charles Finney, this was a quote, it says, at times, solitude is better than society. Now, we all love being together with one another, but listen to what he was saying here. He says, time spent just waiting upon the Lord. I ask you, when was the last time you just were on your knees, locked yourself away, you took yourself away from all the situations of life just to be with God? D.L. Moody, another great man of God, he was up regularly at 4 a.m. in the word and prayer. Not up, you know, to go to work, not up because that's when the day started. No, he was up because he knew he needed to get hours in before his day started. Hours in with the Lord. Hudson Taylor. He was from Barnsley. Did you know that? The town where I came from, Hudson Taylor. He left everything to go and preach the word in China. Everything. Now, this was in a, you know, I know we get that today. People, you know, they can leave everything and they go and become a missionary. But this was in the days where there was no nice life in it. You see, today there can be a nice life in being a missionary, you know, and the churches that support you. This was in a time where there was nothing. John Wesley, a quote, he says, you have nothing to do but save souls. Therefore, spend and be spent in his work. You see, we're not to build something for ourselves. We're not to build a nice little church so that we can feel comfortable on a Sunday. You see, these men of God that really understood something, he said, look, you get out there and you save souls. Jonathan Edwards. He studied up to 14 hours a day. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can read the word, and after half an hour, I'm like, my mind's thinking, now what sandwich will I have for lunch? You see, our minds can be so easily just taken away. And I read about these men of God, and I wonder, why did they see some incredible things? It's because they chased after their father, Smith Wigglesworth. A Yorkshireman, he once was asked about his prayer life and he says, I never pray more than half an hour, but half an hour will never go by without praying. Always in communion with God. Martin Luther would fast weekly and had a 3-hour daily prayer life. Watchman Nee, imprisoned for his faith. Tens of thousands of lives were impacted because of his sacrifice. William Booth. His saying was, go for souls and go for the worst. You know, today it's like, I don't really like them. Oh, they're not churchy people. You go for the worst. You go for those that are close to hell. You know, I've got an inheritance, you know, that from Colin, my father-in-law, and inheritance from my grandparents. And, you know, I listen to story from my parents or from my mum, where her granddad would sell everything, would go to work, and all his money would go to the church just because it needed renovating, it needed stuff spent on it. She says she remembers once where they didn't eat for nearly 2 weeks. proper food. It was literally just what they could grab here or there. And she found out that actually he'd given all his money because the fence that was actually keeping the church secure had blown down. So he gave all of his earnings to put the fence up. You see, this is my inheritance of a generation that church, that God was everything to them. Today, you see, church and God can become so secondary. Colin, my father-in-law, twice they've sold their house and given up everything. And Wendy remembers some of those days where they would live in people's cellars because they had nothing. They gave everything just so that they could buy carpet and chairs for the church. And I know that today I'm reaping a blessing in the church that we're in because of days gone by that they sold everything, that they gave it to the Lord. They said, this is for you. We're secondary. Our lives are secondary. You see, there was a generation that had a hunger and a passion for God, for his kingdom. You see, today's generation has lost touch with God, and it's become about us. Let's build something nice for us. Let us feel great. Let us have, you know, today people want a touch from God just so that they can feel good. God doesn't touch you so you can feel good. God touches you so that you can go out there and radiate the glory of God and save souls. But today it's become about us. Touch me, you know, make me feel good. Change my circumstances. Now listen, we pray and we ask the Lord to do those things. There's nothing wrong in that. But we don't let it become our focus. You see, today, you know, I believe Satan laughs at the church. Satan's happy with the church today. Satan doesn't mind you coming to church. You know what? He will even put the sun in the sky to help you come to church. Satan doesn't mind you coming and singing songs. Satan doesn't mind you sitting under the word like you are now. Satan doesn't mind you giving your tithes and your offerings. Satan doesn't mind you praying like you've just done. What he doesn't want is you getting close to God. You see, we can do all of those things and not actually be close to God. And this is what I want to kind of just touch on quickly this morning. You see, the early church, as we read in Acts, they saw persecution. They saw persecution from outside the church, but they also saw persecution from in the church. Those that would say, I'm a Christian, but then they would persecute, and they would hurt and damage the church. You see, just as in those days, just as in the early church, just as 2,000 years ago, just as today. You see, there's Christians that sit in churches just like this, and we hurt one another. We hurt the church. We hurt the bride. Because, well, it's what I want. And because I'm not getting what I want, then we fight with one another, and we hurt one another. See, Satan will use churchgoers, religious churchgoers. Satan's, you know, actually... I look at the church, just, you know, when you see things, you know, you can get Christian magazines and Christian literature that's sent with emails of things happening all over the world, you know, stuff that's just going on, stuff that's happening in the churches, stuff that preachers are preaching, and you just go, man, what is happening to the church today? Where is the word of God? Where is the truth? You see, there's a false Christianity today. Just as there was when Jesus walked on this earth. You see, we can look at those stories and we can, oh, the Pharisees. Oh, you know, and we can point the finger. We can be a Pharisee so easily. We can sit there and we can do all the stuff that we do, but actually we're a Pharisee. You see, this is why the Bible says, make sure of your salvation. With fear and trembling. You see, we've great fear. We've got to make sure that we are in the right place with God. You see, just because I'm a pastor, just because, you know, I'm a part of, you know, and it's so easy for me to, you know, I'm biased, obviously, part of a great church. And, you know, it doesn't mean that actually one day I'm going to go to be with the Lord. I can preach for the rest of my life and still go to hell. I've got to make sure, is my lifestyle in the right place? Am I actually who I say I am, a Christian? I want to put up a scripture, Acts, if it comes up, Acts 17 and verse 30. He says, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. And I believe that there's been a time where over this earth, God has kind of turned his face. And things have been allowed to happen. But today, you just look around the world, things are ramping up. And I believe it's because God is turning his face and starting to look at this earth and saying, do you know what? I'm not going to allow this to go on anymore. And there's going to come a point where God is going to click his fingers. And that will be the end. You know, and some of the stuff that's happening today in the governments, in schools, and I wonder how long is God going to just say, no more. No more. But where will we be at that point? You see, there's a shift coming. There's a shift coming to the bride of Christ. Not the church, because there's churches all over. I'm talking about the bride. The true church. You know, this morning, you know, I don't just want to bring a word. It's so easily done. So easy just to preach a word. I want to bring something that I believe is right. And as I just mulled over this, there was a few words that I had on my mind, but this was the word that just kind of impressed on my heart, that the Lord just asked, where are you at? As an individual, where are you at? Are you who you say you are? You know, I believe there's a choice coming to the church. Where actually, you see, here in Australia, you know, it's pretty easy to be a Christian. You know, there's no one at the door about to shoot you. There's no one, you know, kind of watching up while, you know, there's countries where you have to be hidden to be a Christian. Church underground. Because your life is on the line. You know, we know pastors in parts of the nations that actually their life is on the line just to be saying, I'm a Christian. And I can sense that coming to the UK with the way things are heading. It would not surprise me if in the next 10 years we really did have some heaviness put on the church of how we preach, how we live, how we act. You can just sense a shift. And you see, this is the Lord saying, look, I'm calling my church to be different. I'm calling my church to be set apart. Isaiah 2. And verses 2-3, he says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established. You see, there's churches all over the world. But he says, in the last days, and he's talking about the church, the mountain of the Lord, it's the house of God, will be established as the highest of the mountains. So you see, there'll be churches all over the world, but really there'll be his church that will be established above all. It will be exalted above the hills. Above all the nations, all the nations will stream to it. You see, the difference is people will just go, something different about Mumbulk. I know there's other churches, but there's something different about them. They're different. And they're not the same as all the other churches. Many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. You see, there's a day coming. I think it's just comfortable at the moment for most nations. It's comfortable to be a Christian. But the church that he wants to establish, the church that he wants, that he says, this is my bride, it's going to be lifted up. It's going to be lifted up. You see, we have a choice that we can be a part of his church, his bride, or we can just drift. We can be a comfortable Christian. We can be a comfortable church attender. You see, when we read scripture, you see, there was a cost. These men and women, there was a cost to have his name, Christian. You see, we hold his name. There was a cost to be baptized. You know, today we have water baptisms, you know, in our churches, and it's easy. It's simple. You know, back in the day, you see, actually the baptism tank would be outside the church. All the passerbys, you see, that's why they knew that they were Christians. And actually there was a chance that their life would be over. That their life would be given up. That they would be taken. You see, it was dangerous to be called a Christian. Today it's so easy and so comfortable. There's a generation of men that long ago that I read those names that said, I don't want to be ordinary. I don't want to be just an ordinary man. You know, I look at, you know, some of the men, John Wesley, you know, there's plaques around some of the towns in the UK that will say he preached here. I think, wow. That there's a plaque left hundreds of years later. What impact did he leave that meant that they had to leave a plaque? How many hundreds and thousands of lives were impacted that someone in the town said, we need to leave a plaque there? I don't know about you, but I don't think I've left any impact like that. No one's come to me and said, hey, Johnny, we're going to leave a plaque here because, wow, that needs to go down in history. But yet, you see, I read out these names that most of us will know, that we remember. Why? Because they did something different. They were just ordinary men, ordinary people. But they did something different. Revelation 3 and verse 15. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. Now remember, this is being spoken to the church, not unbelievers. It's spoken to the church. I wish you were either one of them. You see, it took me a while to get my head around. Why would God, the God of heaven, say to someone, I'd rather you be cold and not even in the church? That does not even make sense. It's because God, and he goes on in the next verse, Jesus says, look, you're lukewarm and I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Because you see, there's too many lukewarm Christians in the church today that actually are hindering his church. You see, to really have unity, to really have strength, to really have oneness, we all need to be the same. That doesn't mean that we're all on the same level, but it means that we're going for it. But there's too many Christians today filling seats and pews around the world that I go to church because it makes me feel good. Because that's what I do as a Christian. But there's nothing else. You see, the Lord says, I would rather you not even be there. Now listen, that's not, my heart is not saying, look, you're lukewarm, don't come to church. My heart is the opposite. Get hot. You know, it's like, you know, back in Deuteronomy, he says there's life and death before you. Now choose life. Encourages you, choose life. Be on fire for God. Revelation 3, verses 2 to 3. Wake up. Wake up. Exclamation mark. That was being shouted. That's spoken. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. Again, this is spoken to a church. It's not spoken to unbelievers. It's so easy for us to sit there. Oh, well, they don't believe God. They don't. No, this is spoken to people just like you and I. Wake up and strengthen that which is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. That which is about to die. You see, we need to wake up. We really need to wake up. We need to know the day that we're living in, the times that we're living in. I don't know, is God going to return in my lifetime? I don't know. But I look at the world and I just think, man, there's some crazy things happening. And I don't know if God, is he going to allow another 50, 60 years to go by until he returns? I don't know. I think that we're very, very close to a time that the Lord is going to return. The craziness of this world, things are spiraling out of control. Proverbs 20 verse 13, it says, do not love sleep or you will grow poor. Stay awake and you will have food to spare. See, don't fall asleep. So easy to fall asleep. Even when we're there with Jesus. Where did Mary lose Jesus? She lost him in the temple. You see, it's so easy that we can lose Jesus in the temple. We can go to church. We can attend. We can do all the things that a Christian does. And we can lose Jesus just like Mary did. In the place that we found him. In the place that is his house. Don't love sleep. Joel 3. Let's just turn to that. I want you to see this. Joel 3 and verse 9. Someone stole Joel. It's one of those books you can never find
Joel 3 and verse 9. Proclaim this among the nations. Among the house of God is what he's saying. Proclaim this among the churches. Prepare for war. Come on, prepare for war. Rouse the warriors. Let the fighting men draw near and attack. Come on, this is a word that's been spoken over you, Mumbulk. Come on, it's time for war. The sitting back and relaxing, the time has gone, and now it's a time for war. It's a time to press in. You know, I remember when we were here a couple of years ago, and I know that David's heart was to get the men. You know, I remember times that he would say, oh, I'm going to an early morning prayer meeting. I'll be back in a couple hours. You know, and I'd be, hey, what's on your heart, David? I want the men to get a heart after the Lord. Now, listen to this. The scripture says, you know, the men to fight. But listen, there is a need for the men to pick up the sword. There's a need for the men to pick up the shield. Doesn't mean that it's just a man's church. But for too long, the men have just been sitting back. And I want to say to you at this time and this season, that as Dave has gone to be with the Lord, listen, this is where you need to say, okay, what do I need to do? Because I want to tell you, just in the little that I knew Dave, I know his heart was to get a hold of the men to run hard and fast for God, for the things of God. And when you get the men, you get the women. And actually, it makes even the women stronger. It makes them secure. So I want to say to the men this morning in this place, it's time to rise. But the thing is, you've got to stir yourself. You can't expect, you know, the Holy Spirit to come and bang. That's not what the Holy Spirit's for. You see, you have self-control. So the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, you have self-control. So you can allow the Holy Spirit to move, or you can stop the Holy Spirit from moving. So you have to stir yourself. And the scriptures are that we cleanse ourselves, we prepare ourselves, we wash ourselves. And as a church, that's what we need to do. You see, the soul doesn't want to. The soul just wants to turn up to church. The soul just wants to, I'll give my tithes and my offerings, but I don't really want to commit to it. That's the flesh. But you've got to get the Spirit ruling over the flesh. Get in tune with God. Get in line with God, what he's wanting for this house, for this community. You know, time's gone. I'm going to try and wrap this up. Matthew 11 and verse 12, it says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. You see, the kingdom taken with force. What we need today is men and women that would stand and fight for his house. You know, we were just talking over the last few days, just different people and, you know, just saying the state of the world, state of the church. And it comes down to us. We can't blame it on anyone else. The state of the UK comes down to people like me, Christians, that never 30, 40, 50, 100 years ago stood out and said, no, we're not going to allow this. But I want to tell you, the UK's gone too far. The days of being able to stand out and actually try and prevent things, it's gone. Now, I don't know the times that you live in here in Australia, but if there's things trying to be passed, this is where you as a people need to stand and say, the Word of God says. And be warriors, be men, be women for the kingdom. Take it with force. You know, there's a choice coming. There's a time coming that we will have to stand or run. Will you stand and fight for God's house? Will you stand and fight for his word? Or will you run like everybody else? I look at David's mighty men. You see, he talks about mighty men. Not mighty armies. Mighty men. That you look at Abishai, Shammah. They stood alone when the rest of the armies fled and they were like, we're out of here, we're gone.
And Shammah stood. And he says, no. This is the king's field. And they ain't having it. This is my king's field. And I'm going to protect it. You see, what the church needs today is mighty men and women that are going to say, this is the word of God. And you ain't going to take from it. This is his house. And you aren't going to bring that filth into his house. You see, this is where we've got to stand for the things of God. God, let it be in years to come that there would be names written down in Mombulk history of men and women that stood, plaques around this town, because suddenly there was a people that rose and said, my God says. You know, I'm going to, if you're taking notes, I don't know if you are, I'm just going to give you some scriptures. You can look at them later, time's gone. Psalm 35 and verse 23, it tells us to awake. Luke 21, 36, it tells us to be alert. Ephesians 5 and verse 14 tells us to wake up. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6, fan into flame. Fan into flame. You know, the Holy Spirit, in Acts 2, you know, when it came, we see a bunch of ordinary people that, man, they got it wrong. So many times they would open their mouths. Peter, man, you know, he would open his mouth and rubbish would come out. And the Lord must have just looked at him and gone, oh, man, when will you ever get it? You know, Jesus must have spent so much time and energy into Peter. And then he must have, yes, he's getting it. He's getting it. And then all of a sudden, Peter would go, hey, Lord, what about? And he's like, oh. Suddenly, Acts 2 comes. The Holy Spirit blows upon an ordinary bunch of people. What happens? Thousands are saved. A church is established. And you continue to read that they met together every single day, that they broke bread, that they kept the faith. And every single day, men and women joined them, added to their number. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came upon them and changed them. Listen, the Holy Spirit, and this is one of the things that is rife in the world today, is that the Holy Spirit is for us. It's to make us feel good. It's to you know, let me do incredible things and have power. And listen, yes, they're elements of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit comes on you so that the presence of God can dwell with you, so that actually when you speak to people, people go, you're different. You smell different. You look different. You sound different. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not there so that, oh, we can have this great, you know, aura around us and we just have great meetings for ourselves. You see, that's what the church has become. Holy Spirit comes and there's great meetings for the churchgoers. That's not what the Holy Spirit's for. The Holy Spirit is to come on you so that you go and make disciples. And just as Peter opened his mouth and so many times got himself into trouble, when the Holy Spirit fell, he must have thought, I can't do this. And he opened his mouth, and men and women came to know Jesus. You see, I want to tell you, I don't know how many times you've invited that person to church. I don't know how many times you've rung someone up. I don't know how many times that you've spoke to that shop owner or whoever it is. When you allow the Holy Spirit to come on you for his work, that's when change comes. That's when difference comes. That's when we start to get Smith Wigglesworths. That's when we start to get William Booth. You know, the Salvation Army today, and I'm closing this, the Salvation Army today is nothing like what the Salvation Army was. My parents grew up in it. My grandparents were a part of it. William Booth, he says, you go for souls. Most of the Salvation Armies around the world today, they don't even know what a soul looks like to be saved. It's become about them. It's become about doing good works. It's become about feeding the homeless and clothing them and having shelters. They're great things that we can do. But you go and tell people that they're dying, they're on their way to hell, and they need a saviour. They need Jesus. You see, that's God's will. That is his heart. So listen, Satan's happy for you to attend church. He's happy for you to come to prayer meetings. He's happy for you to give and be a part of that day that you're all going to come and clean the church. Hey, he doesn't mind any of that. What he doesn't want is you getting close to God. What he doesn't want is the presence of God coming upon you and changing you. Changing the way that you speak, changing the way that you look, changing the way that you sound. So listen, I'm going to, as I bring this to a close, what I don't want to do is, I want to pray for you, I want to give you a chance to really come before the Lord. I want to give a chance and an opportunity where you can respond to the word. But what I don't want to do is just create an opportunity where everyone just comes because that's the church thing that we do. That's the thing that, you know, it will look bad if I don't do. I want you to be honest with God. And what I'm going to ask is I want you to stand where you are if you want to be different. But listen to this. Being different is going to come at a cost. It's going to cost you. If you stand before God and say, God, I don't want to just be a church attender. But God, I want to be different. I want to leave a mark like those men, those women have left a mark. I want to allow you to use me. Because I want to tell you, God will see. And it will come at a cost. So it's not just an easy thing that we do because, oh, well, look, so-and-so's there. I'm going to stand up too. I would rather you sit and be honest before me and God that, you know what, I'm just not there yet. But if you want to stand before God and say, yes, I want to be counted. I want to be a part of Mumble Christian Fellowship. I want to be a part of what God's going to do here. I want to be a tool in his hand that he can come and use. I want the Holy Spirit to come upon me and flow through me and make a difference in this place. You know, I've heard that in the history of this church, that there was at one point 300 people meeting in the theatre up there. That was not just a part of your history. The Lord wants to burn that in your minds and say, listen, just as he says, I'm going to restore my church, but I'm going to take it past the former glories. The Lord wants to breathe back into this house. The men and women that are lost, dying and hurting. I heard that this place was packed for Dave's funeral. There was kids there that have grown up in this house. There was people that once called this their home. They're not going to come back just because of you. They're not going to come back because of music, because of guest speakers. They're going to come back because the presence of God will come upon a people in such a powerful way that you become different. So I'm going to ask right now, I'm going to ask everyone to just close their eyes. Because I don't want anyone looking around, but if you want to stand before God and say, I'm going to be counted. I'm going to say on this day, yes, God, you have got me. And you can use me. You can flow through me. I don't want to be the same again. I want you to stand right now. Now what I'm going to ask is, if you have the Holy Spirit, I want you to start speaking out in tongues. Not for anything, you're not asking the Holy Spirit to come to bring healing, you're not asking the Holy Spirit to come. I just want you to speak in tongues, and I want you to just allow the presence of God to just come upon you. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you just need to ask, hey, God, Holy Spirit, come. It's a gift. Everyone can receive it. But right now, those that can, you just start speaking in tongues. Just allow his presence to come upon you. I'm not here trying to create an atmosphere, stir up something exciting. I don't want even you to raise your voice to a level so it's just like loud. I want you to just speak in tongues. Rata papa kushondoro do bobo sondoro dona masanda. Sara papa papa kishi di andar and masodo robo kushondo. Riti di andar and rabasandar and rabakushondo. Holy Spirit, just fall. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just come right now and you would fall upon your people. upon this house, Holy Spirit. We give ourselves as willing vessels for you to do your work. Holy Spirit, I pray that where there's emptiness, I pray that you would bring a refreshing and a refilling. Holy Spirit, where there's maybe error in people's lives, I pray that you would bring correction. Holy Spirit, just as you are so gentle, I pray that you would come in such a gentle way and just breathe across your church. That we would get a revelation and an understanding of what your plan and your purpose really is. You know, just as those that are standing and you are speaking in tongues, encourage you to just continue. Just while I just, for 1 minute, I just want to speak to those. I don't know everyone here, and there may be those that have attended this morning that don't know Jesus. And I just want to give an opportunity this morning for those that don't know him to come to know him. You see, attending church doesn't make you a Christian. Reading the Bible, praying doesn't make you a Christian. You know, but it's at some point in your life you accept Jesus. That you say you're sorry for the things that you've done wrong. You see, our mistakes, our wrongdoings that the Bible calls sin, actually we deserve hell. Punishment in hell, eternity in hell. And there's no way of getting around that. There's no being good. There's no being church attender. There's no giving to charity, to you know, being a good person in life that will get you around eternity in hell. The only way from that is that you accept Jesus. So attending this church will not change you and save you. Being raised in a Christian family will not save you. It's at some point you recognize I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. And I'm going to give you that opportunity right now as those that are still praying. You want to say yes to Jesus? You want to invite him into your heart? You know him? Have peace and assurance of knowing, just as Dave did. He knew, I'm going to go and be with my Lord and Savior. You can have that peace and assurance of knowing the day that you leave this earth, you will go to spend eternity with him. So right now, I want to give you that opportunity. If that's you, I want you to do a wonderful thing. It's an incredible thing. And I want you to just raise your hand nice and high in the air so that I can see it above all those that are standing. No one else is looking around. Just raise your hand. Say, yes, that's me. I want to invite Jesus into my life. Today, I want to become a Christian. I want to be a follower of Jesus. This is the most important decision of anybody's life. I don't want to rush this. We may all be saved. Hallelujah. Fantastic. But I don't know that. And I want to just give an opportunity. So if that's you, don't worry about the person next to you. Don't worry about the person behind you. This is you making sure of where you go when you die. So one last time, as I look around, you want to make that decision, just raise your hand. Say, yes, I want to invite Jesus into my life. I'll get someone to connect with you afterwards. Okay, well, I take it that we're all saved. I just want to pray, Lord, I just ask, Holy Spirit, as we've just called upon you, Holy Spirit, we don't want to be different in the weird sense. We want to be different with the sweetness and the fragrance of you. Holy Spirit, we want you to set us apart, but set apart in a way that even other church attenders would say, what is it that you've got that I haven't? Lord, I pray that Mumble Christian Fellowship would become a lighthouse, a beacon on this hillside. That the communities, not just Mumble, but the communities around would look to. Lord, I pray that for all of those that have grown up in this house that are not attending, Lord, we call them out. In the name of Jesus, I just pray right now that the sons and the daughters of this house, that Satan, you have no authority over them. And I call them back into the fold. I call them back into the house. And I pray that this year would be a year of salvation.
Lord, I pray that the life that Dave led, that, Lord, his sacrifice would even be a seed, a first fruit seed into the ground, that many would come to know you because of his life. So, Lord, we just pray right now that wherever they are, whatever they're doing, Lord, I pray, God, would you go after them? God, I pray that the hounds of heaven would snap at their heels, that they would know that they need to come to the house of God. But not only that, that they would know that they need to invite you into their lives. So, Lord, I really do pray that over this house. Lord, I pray that there would be a difference, there would be a setting apart. I pray over the men of this house. Lord, let them be violent kingdom makers, kingdom takers. Lord, that they would storm the enemy's camp. Lord, that the ground that has been taken over the years, Lord, I pray that the men of this house rise up and would claim that land back. Lord, I pray for the time and the season that they're in. Let this be an incredible time. Lord, that as we can look at the sorrow in the natural, but Lord, we look to the joy in the spiritual. And Lord, I just ask right now, Lord, that there would be a testimony that would come from this time and from this season. Lord, that you would draw men and women to your house, as your word says, that they would be drawn to the mountain of the Lord. So Lord, I just ask right now that you would come upon your people, set them apart, let them be different. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, it has been a joy, a privilege to be with you. You know, I have said to Bev and Bruce and even the iHeart Church that, you know, as much as we can make it, we'll come next year, but I'm not coming to minister. I want to just come to spend time with you. Now, I'll do when I come. I come under the house. I do whatever you want me to do. If you want me to hoover the carpet, I'll vac the carpet. I come to serve. You want me to clean the toilets? I'll clean the toilets. Okay, and if I was here on February the 10th, that's exactly what I would be doing. So listen, we come just to be with our family. We come to just be with you. You're in our hearts. You're in our church. And it's just a joy to be with you. So I am excited. I am. There's sorrow in our hearts, but I'm excited. Because I know that when the Lord moves, he moves and he brings fruit. So I'm looking forward to the fruit that's going to come in this season. So Bev, I don't know who I'm handing over to. But thank you.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.